welcome Dr. Reitner to our team. Interesting and fun having a vet on the group. So. Can I get a motion for the approval of the minutes of June 9th, 2014?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion, changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any public comments? I don't, there's plenty going on, but I suppose I'm sure Cindy will have plenty to talk about, so I will defer and we'll go to the presentation of the budget first.
Okay, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Wayne Krieger. I'm the fiscal manager at the Division of Health. I've been with the Division of Health for coming up on 13 years. So I'll walk you through the budget a little bit. For Dr. Regner's purpose, how the county system works is each division has an oversight committee like the Board of Health. They make a recommendation to the Human Services Committee and Human Services Board, which are kind of the financial oversight committees. That meeting is held, I believe, Wednesday night. And then from there, it goes to the Finance Committee, and they take one final look at all the division's budgets in the Department of Human Services. And then from there, like the second week in November, first week in November, it goes to the County Board for approval. And all along the way, there's questions that County Board supervisors may have, looking for more information, or if they have issues with what is being presented, things like that. Makes for lively discussion. And, so I thought I'd start with the revenues to give everyone kind of a broad overview of the 2015 Department or Division of Health's budget. We have several different, many different funding sources. Our federal sources are HUD-led grants and the Coverdale Forensic Scientific Grant. You can see there's a large increase in the HUD-led grant. That's because we were just awarded a new three-year, $3.9 million grant, lead demonstration grant, which will start probably sometime early next year. We're in the process of negotiating with HUD on when the, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's to make sure that everyone gets everything they need before the start of the grant. So we'll actually have two grants running simultaneously probably for the first quarter of 2015. Our current lead hazard control grant ends in May of next year. Our state funding is going up almost $50,000. The WIC program going up $45,000 of that. That's primarily due to caseload increases for the Kenosha County WIC program. Environmental programs funded through the state are also going up 12% or only $4,000. That increase is primarily due to the POUTS program, which is the portable on-site water holding.
Private
on-site. Wastewater holding, the septic tanks that are out in the county primarily. That's a program that we in the Division of Health took over last year when they kind of carved that piece of out of planning and development and moved it into the Division of Health. And we took on the two FTEs that they had running that program. Our grants category is increasing almost $700,000. The vast majority of that is in our nurse family partnership line item. That funding is for our comprehensive Kenosha County home visitation program. There's two different models, evidence-based models, that we're working in that program. One is the nurse family partnership, which focuses on first-time moms with no other children. The other one is our kind of our traditional prenatal care coordination service program that we've been running for years and years. But we've taken some different avenues with that and re-looking at that program. And we'll be expanding our partnership with the Early Head Start program through the Kenosha Achievement Center in 2015. So a little bit of changes here and there with some of the grants. Some of it's just flipping from consolidated contract We've always been receiving a portion for women's health services. I just moved that into the women's health service line. So it's a non-budgetary impact reclassification. And then the Kenosha Life Course grant, which that is a new five-year grant that started April of 2014. 5 years funding, it's for the Kenosha Life Course program, which focuses on infant mortality in the community. So basically, in 2014, we had a partial year of funding. So now in 2015, we've got the entire year funding. In the other category, you see our City of Kenosha chemist salary is there. The city pays 50% of our chemist salary, and that portion is just decreasing a little bit due to the younger staff that we have and the fact that she takes single health insurance rather than family health insurance. The school nursing contract is decreasing $46,000, and that is primarily due to staffing changes during the year. We've had two school nurses retire this year, so next year they'll be, or this year they've been replaced by young first-year nurses. Environmental service fees are increasing $46,000. Primarily that is in two areas. One being the restaurant licenses and the other being the retail food licenses. During this past spring, we went back to the county board and wanted to improve our programs. And as part of that, are doing additional inspections in facilities based upon their complexity. So there are some larger fee increases that came through this year for the establishments. Service fees for the nursing area are going up $87,000, almost $88,000, primarily due to the home visitation programs and the targeted case management services that we're providing to families, as well as the prenatal care coordination services. And then a slight increase in laboratory service fees, which we'll see later. There's some new service fees that we'll be charging next year in the lab. City of Kenosha contribution is increasing $68,000. This is directly related to our annual cost plan that we do and the service ratio, which has flipped more 3% more towards city services that we've provided within the Division of Health in 2013 versus county services. So the ratio of city and county changes slightly. Our county tax levy is decreasing $155,000, down from $884,000 to $730,000. And our total revenue for the budget increasing $906,000, or an 11% increase. And if you have any questions on any of the slides, please feel free to stop me. And I can answer the questions, or else I'll refer you to the section leaders who are here who might be able to give more detailed information if you need it. Cindy's a very visual person, so just for Cindy's sake, I like to throw in a few slides here and there.
Thank you.
Just breaking down our total proposed pie into the funding. Colors are a little different than I have on my screen. They're a little more noticeable, but I guess the Hitachi system up there doesn't like those colors. Just to give everyone an overview of the size of our grant funding compared to all of our rest of the funding within the Division of Health. This is very unique to the Kenosha County Health Department when you compare it to other health departments in the state. We are kind of the model that a lot of local health departments have been looking to and seeking advice from, because we're actively looking for grants that fit our core functions that we are doing and looking for additional funding that way. Also, to compare this current year, which is in blue, to last fiscal year, based upon our funding sources. You can see our federal's increased a little, the state's about the same. The grants have had a major jump. Others gone up a little. The city of Kenosha going up $70,000 and the county tax levy decreasing by $150,000. And this is probably a little difficult to read, but I'll summarize a lot of this. This is our expenditure budget for the year. The first section involves our full-time equivalent, which is our staffing changes for the year. Our total staffing is going up 8.4 FTEs in the 2015 budget. Of that 8.4, actually 8.6 occurred during 2014. These were all grant-funded positions that were added during the year. You'll see in the personnel section, which is the next section, the actual costs related to each of those staffing increases. Biggest portion by far is the nurse family partnership funding during the year. We added 6 home visiting nurses, as well as a half-time navigator, like a program coordinator type person, to help get the families the services they need. And then a full-time now mental health coordinator for the program. Last year she was a, I believe it was a 0.6 FTE, a 0.4 FTE for the program. Also the Kenosha Life Course, a program that we saw before, that increased there. In the previous years, that staff had always been contracted in and served as independent contractors to the Division of Health. Because we're on a new 5-year cycle and there's a little more stability with the grant funding, the personnel department has agreed to go ahead and bring those 2 individuals on as employees of the county. The only other real FTE change in the 2015 budget is a slight decrease of elimination of a 0.2 FTE of our epidemiologist position. She had requested during 2014 to reduce her hours from full-time down to 80% time, 32 hours a week. And so we did it on a temporary basis to see if our needs were still being met and if it met her personal needs, which it has worked out well this year. So we're kind of making that official in the budget for 2015. The personnel section is increasing $525,000, almost $526,000, which is a 12% increase. Of that increase, $419,000 are directly related to the personnel salary and benefits of those 6 visiting staff. $25,000 for the NFP navigator position, $41,000 for the mental health coordinator, $75,000 for the K-Life coordinator, and $25,000 for the half-time K-Life administrative assistant. We actually, the half-time NFP navigator and the half-time administrative assistant for K-Life program are actually 1 full-time FTE, 1 person, and it makes for a very seamless integration of the 2 programs together, both the home visiting as well as the infant mortality. The budget modifications for 2015, we are declassifying the environmental sanitarian position, which was one of those 2 individuals that we pulled in last year from planning and development, down to make that person a sanitarian. That person has retired this year now, and the position is vacant. And that way, all of our sanitarians are on a level playing field. Whereas before, this person was a higher rated employee. The elimination of the 0.2 FTE for epidemiologist position is a decrease of almost $15,000. There's also a couple minor reclasses. One is the chemist salary from a non-rep F position to a non-rep D position. Primarily, we've downgraded that position just due to the experience of the chemist that we have. And then the one position reclass that we had in the 2015 budget, we actually are taking a public health nurse and reclassifying that position and forming the maternal child health, that's what the MCH stands for, a team leader position. So she'll have oversight over our nurse of the day clinic operations staff. The other net salary increases of almost $23,000, those are budgeted increases for the staff. And the decreases for other personnel costs, the vast majority of that is health insurance, just due to the mix of staff. For example, our lab staff, both of them in 2014 took family insurance, now both of them take single insurance. So there's like a $12,000 savings between family and single insurance. Contractual changes for the year are decreasing by $735, primarily just a few minor changes here and there. One thing that we are budgeting for is additional equipment maintenance. All of our refrigerators and freezers are getting older. Our lab equipment that is only a couple years old has now come off their initial warranties. So we're just trying to safeguard us so that we don't have any emergency purchases of major capital items and doing more preventive maintenance type services with the equipment. Supplies are going up $51,000 for the year. The majority of the supply increases have to deal with grant-funded activities. As you would imagine, since most of our revenues are going up in the grant area. Increases in advertising due to the K-Life program. The only other levy increase really in that advertising is due to the additional legal posting costs that we're now seeing. Previously, we had been using the Kenosha Labor paper for our legal notices. They went out of business this year, and now we have to post in the Kenosha News. Kenosha News is roughly three times higher than the Kenosha, the legal paper, or the Kenosha Labor paper was previously. There's some reclasses in the grant funds between other operating supplies and staff development. They kind of wash out just depending upon how we're going to use the grant funds that we have. And then we do have a $4,000 increase in levy funds for staff development. That's primarily due to the newer environmental health staff that we have brought on both this year and next year that we're looking to bring on board. New staff have to be certified as certified pool operator licenses. They need to get lead training certification, as well as numerous other certifications. And so we've had such experienced staff in the past that we haven't really used a lot of staff development in environmental. But trying to bring our staff up to the level of professionalism and knowledge base is requiring $4,000 extra, we're estimating this year. Our fixed charges, which is basically our rents and the county insurance, the general liability insurance, are going up $26,800. The vast majority of that is increasing our building rent and occupancy charges. Because our FTEs have gone up by 8 FTEs, the central service occupancy costs are allocated to us, go up also for those FTEs. So how the Kenosha County Department of Human Services does is we have our building square footage rental, which stays the same. We've got roughly 12,000 square feet of this building. And then we receive an occupancy cost. Things like postage and computer time usage, mailing costs, the general office supplies, those are allocated based on an FTE basis. Because our FTEs have increased in 2015, our costs are going up also. Grants and contributions are increasing only by 1.3%, which we'll get to a big offset coming in a minute. But you can see the first line is the HUD lead hazard control grant, estimated going up $176,000. The WIC program, the next line, going up another $100,000. And then there's some smaller increases and decreases. But the big accounting change in the 2015 budget is that the county has decided to put all of both the county employee and the contracted fiscal services under the Department of Finance and Administration rather than having it spread out through all the divisions and departments in the county. So because the Division of Health has contracted financial staff, we always had that in our grants and contribution for our purchase services. But now it'll be as a cost allocation line, which you see in the next section down there. So we're just moving it from one section into another section. Costs are going up slightly for the financial and data management services, but it's about a 4% increase, and that's due to based upon the estimated services that the Division of Health will need in 2015. People are staying the same. In the same positions, I'll still be at the Division of Health full time unless it's deemed that someone else could do the job better and my services could be used somewhere else. Total cost allocation changes are going up by $175,000. In the past, previous years, these have all been credits that have come back to us for our interdepartmental agreements where we provide drug testing services for the Division of Aging and Disability Services, as well as the Division of Children and Family Services. We also provide nursing services for the Preventive Services Network program, and also some partnership with the Division of Disability and aging resources for the Aota Street Outreach Services. So those programs are still continuing. There's a small decrease due to our becoming more efficient in our drug processing. But then the big change is also that adding those personnel costs, or the purchase service costs for the fiscal staff back into the budget as a cost allocation. Overall, like our revenue budget, our expense budget's increasing $900,000, or 12.7% increase. The next couple of items for revenue changes, we kind of talked about a lot of those already. This is the format that the county uses in our other budget presentations. So I won't go through those again unless anyone has any particular questions. The next page, there is a recap at the bottom that shows where our county levy savings of $155,000, which line those comes from. Each of those come from. That's just a recap of everything above. The next slide is just our visual representation of our 2015 proposed expenditure budget, showing you that the vast majority, 60% of our budget are our staff. Very staff, and then the grant services for the, like the HUD-led program, the K-Life program, WIC program, items like that. So you can see, like most of human services, the staffing is an integral portion of the budget. The only other thing left then related to the budget is the proposed clinical service fee schedule for 2015. All of our nursing clinical services, we are not increasing the fees at this time. We always try to maintain a good balance between what people can afford, yet still trying to recover something for our services. And we feel that we're probably at that limit right now with a lot of our services and don't want to risk someone not paying like the $20 for STD testing, and then we still would provide the STD testing to them. So it's kind of that balancing act of charging what we think the clients can afford. And last year we did institute the financial, the federal poverty level income determination. That'll be continuing again in 2015. The only changes that we have, which probably are red on your papers, if Nancy printed them in red, they're not red up there, but they're red on my screen for some reason too, is the in the lab services, the arsenic testing. That's a new requirement next year for well drillers in the county that the DNR has put in this year. The testing, what we're proposing is a $35 fee for arsenic testing in addition to the bacteria, nitrate, and fluoride testing that well drillers do. With a 5 to 10 day turnaround, we're actually sending that test out, sending it to the state lab. And if a well driller is looking for 1 to 2 day turnaround, we're just passing along those higher fees that the state lab is charging us to our residents in Kenosha County, because we didn't want to totally turn them away if they're a well driller without giving them the option of getting the other test done here. Because once they leave the door, they're not going to come back for half of their testing, we figured. So we'd offer to do the testing we've always been provided, as well as the arsenic testing for them. And that's my little spiel on the budget. Anyone has any questions, we'll be happy to address them.
Actually, I guess this is directed at you. It's not a budget question, but spore testing for the tattoo parlors with sterilizers. I guess I'm assuming they kill the Hep C and the Hep B and all that stuff. I don't know if anybody's here that owns.
Spore testing? That's a monthly requirement that they, all tattoo parlors have to do. So they send the results into our, they send it to our lab, and the lab sends me a copy of all the results.
Is that just because the sterilizers are prone to getting some molds in? Or?
No, it's just that the state statute requires that their sterilization be tested once a month. And we keep documentation of it.
But are they, it just...
So we just make sure their machinery gets tested, because their machinery isn't going to be as high a quality as you're going to have in a hospital. So we do have a list of approved autoclaves for them to use, but that's why we have them tested on a monthly basis.
So are they just testing to see if they're killing spores?
Right.
Oh, okay.
They're testing to make sure their operation is proper.
I see. I got it. Okay. I think you were looking for moldy sterilizers.
No.
And that has been increasing as the number of tattoo parlors in the city and county have been increasing lately. We've seen that. Probably three times as many tests this year than we've done in previous years.
I think we got two more waiting to come in.
So. Now, just out of curiosity, do they somehow keep an eye out for hepatitis B and C as far as their procedures?
Their procedures, they're supposed to do the bloodborne pathogen protocols, you know, and then I usually let them use our VHS tape if they need it. but they usually have a lot of CPR training and Red Cross training too. So those are the protocols that they stand by. So they should hopefully be able to identify something.
Okay. Any other questions?
On the employee that went from 40 to 32, is there an insurance savings there? Or is 32 still?
Yes. Fine? Yes. Well, the health insurance is next year in the. Assuming that the Affordable Care Act goes through, and I believe the health insurance is still full-time at 30 hours a year. A week.
29, I think? Is that
true? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Just the percentage that the city is paying is going up. Is that still on a two- or three-year back where they have some other third party?
Correct, yes.
Audit that for us?
The process hasn't changed. How it's determined is the percentage is based upon 2013 services in our 2015 budget. So in 2013, we provided 3% more of our services within the city of Kenosha or to the city of Kenosha residents. So that goes into a formula which then allocates our net costs, our net tax levies, which is split between the city and the county, to the city since we're serving more city residents. So 2013 actuals goes into 2015 budget. And then it gets adjusted as we go forward.
Okay. Just a comment that to have a tax levy reduced this amount and still have a terrific health department is pretty hard in this day and age. It's an amazing thing. This should go good at the county board.
Yeah, I have to second that one. I think as will the city taxpayer for between the county and the city paying $1.5 million for these kind of services because of all the hard work but getting all this grant money and other federal money. I mean, this is a screaming deal for, I can't imagine there's a whole lot of criticism on this with the kind of other funds that are supporting this department.
All right. Back in 1991, before the city and the county merged health departments, the city's health department was cost $1.1 million just to the city, not counting the county's side of it. And so the city next year, in 2015, will be paying $795,000.
Really?
Yeah. For the services, plus a whole lot more services than they were receiving in 91.
The only other comment I had to make is that I was just curious last night, so I was on Walgreens looking at. So for a lot of people who don't meet these income requirements or people who are above these levels, I mean, when you start getting to the middle of our costs for some of the more expensive vaccines, much cheaper to get this cash at Walgreens, just in, you know, when you start talking Gardasil and meningitis and the shingles vaccine. So I guess if they're, at that point, they're cash better at Walgreens for a lot of people. I don't know how many you probably see that are above. I would imagine most of the ones we provide are for people at the lower end anyway.
Other questions?
On the Kenosha News advertising, do we have to advertise our legal notices in there? Can't you just put them on the web? Everybody's got access to the web. Go to a library if you don't have a computer. More people see the web than they do the Kenosha News, I suspect. I watched them deliver the paper the other day, and I was the only one on my block, both sides. that got at Kenosha News. So who's reading the paper? Is that a state requirement that we have to?
I'll defer that one to our corp counsel.
Currently, the law mandates what we have to publish and how we have to do it. We have asked in the past, when Frank Volpentesta was still the Corporation Counsel, he asked the Attorney General for a opinion as to whether or not we could do publication online. The answer was no, at least in the AG's opinion. The County Board actually just received, I think the last meeting, a resolution that Supervisor Decker authored asking the essentially asking the state to look at that question and you know, is this still really the most efficient way of providing notice? But right now, it's the office's opinion that under state law, we're doing what we have to do.
Well, not that many people have written a labor paper either.
That's what I say, advertising in papers is costly and not. Who sees it? Yeah. I'm still glad that we are getting lead prevention grants. We've done quite well with that. It's been millions over the last several years. So that's a great program for cleaning up the old housing.
Any other questions for Wayne? Thank you. Cindy?
Before we need a motion to.
Can I have a motion to approve the budget recommendation?
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Cindy.
Well, I want to voice the same remarks as Dr. Foster did. Welcome, Dr. Hortner. We're very happy to have a vet throughout the years. It's been an instrumental position on our Board of Health and assisting the Health Department as we've had monkeypox and different odd things throughout the years. So we appreciate the voice of that board. And for your purposes, I'd like to introduce, I'm not sure that this happened, but our department director, John Jansen. I don't know if you know everybody here, but I'd like to have us go around and maybe just say a couple of things. Some of you have been on the board for a really long time, and maybe you know them or don't know them or what they're affiliated, who they're affiliated with might be helpful to you. And we'll start with Nancy, who's our administrative assistant. But
I introduced myself, but I'm Nancy Reeves, the Board of Health Secretary. If you need anything, just give a holler.
Okay.
Wayne Krieger, introduce myself.
John Jansen, Department of Human Services.
Mario Maritano, local dentist.
Chip Foster, I run the occupational medicine program for United.
John O'Day, I'm supervisor of District 9. I've been on the Health Department Board, I think, since 96. When we were in the old Kroger building downtown.
The freezer.
Wayne Perry Bryan, the clinical services director and assistant health officer. Mark Melitek, environmental manager. So we operate the rabies program, you know, animal bites.
Our patients are really well behaved.
George Cardinal with the Corporation Counsel's Office.
Rita Kadamian with Children's Hospital and the Child Abuse and Neglect in Kenosha County.
My name is Linda Weiss. I'm a family nurse practitioner for Aurora Healthcare and been here 20 years. And we were just reminiscing, knowing Cindy from many years ago working in the ICU Hospital.
Thank you,
girl. I'm a
pediatrician
with
Aurora.
Mark Minori, we've known each other for a while. Dog's vet. Long time member of the Board of Health.
Well, your dog's better than you.
Less tired.
I want to thank our board for being here today. We have eight of our nine board members that were present for this presentation of our budget, and so I appreciate your attendance. And also our executive leadership here is Wayne, Gwen, and Mark, including myself, and that's the executive leadership team of the health department. And it's these individuals that, and all of their thinking power that has brought us to the point that where we're at with our budget, and we've made great strides over the years and trying to offset cost. And it takes a lot of creativity and a lot of risk, which not only the leadership team, but then of course the staff who implement, and it's, you know, they're the boots on the ground and putting these programs and services in place. So we've been very grateful and very blessed in this health department. Want to just share with the board that we passed our 140 review, and so we remain a level three. The state representative will be coming down to one of our board meetings, maybe November or in January, to present not only the documentation of approval for our level three status through the state, which is means we're in compliance with all of our state statutes and the mandates. And then they'll also be presenting us with a FAB accreditation that we achieved recognition for that too at the same time. And so we, a year ago in November, last November, we achieved public health national accreditation, and we were one of 22 nationwide health departments that achieved that accreditation. And so they'll stop by. We, our community health assessment, which is required through our FAB, we just completed our telephone survey that's done through Aurora. So thank you, Aurora. And Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, those two institutions help support that. And it's no cost to our health department to have this done. And so there was a telephone survey in June and July of 400 responders that answered the questions of this survey. And so we have a summary, which I'm just beginning to digest. Some things we've improved based on that survey, and some things we digressed. And of course, all of our programs and services, they're based on this as one piece of data that we use to determine our services that we provide to our community. Mark is going to be looking for a sanitarian. We had a one person that retired last month, or a couple of weeks ago, I should say, and so we're looking to fill that position. In the lab, we did try to seek the Coverdell grant again, but we were not awarded that grant. In our nursing program, the community, the comprehensive home visiting team, as Wayne mentioned, we just newly put together a collaboration with Early Head Start, and so they've been very good with all of their pediatric clients and working with children with birth to three with disabilities, but now we'll help support them through a prenatal care coordination program. So prenatal will now be another focus area within Early Head Start. We'll work underneath their umbrella and then help support them with that program. Last couple of weeks, Ebola has been our word of the day, and so we've been really taking a look at beefing up any weaknesses that we might see. We've ordered some additional equipment just in case for personal protection equipment for our staff. This Thursday we have a mandatory training for all of our staff that they're going to be trained on some additional PPE, and then they'll all be trying it on, and they'll have to do the buddy system with donning and doffing the equipment. We'll also be having a healthcare executive roundtable meeting within the next couple of weeks. It was originally scheduled for November 5th, and the topic is community preparedness and working with our private and public partnerships. We're looking at potentially moving that up based on that response. We'll schedule that and get the information out to everybody. And what we'll do is do an overview of preparedness, not only from the county perspective with our county-wide preparedness plan with public health, but also take a look at the voice of our other partners, healthcare partners, so that we can share and dialogue about the preparedness within our community. And if there's any gaps, we're looking at EMS being there and other institutions that would help support that plan. With some of our grants, we just received a state partnership for an asthma control and prevention award, and we will be hiring a navigator position, and also we'll have a project coordinator, only two half-time positions. The funds are, shouldn't say this, only about $170,000, but that's a lot of money. It supports staff. What we're looking at is working with the hospitals, so taking a look at the emergency departments and the admissions, the hospitalizations of asthma-related diagnoses, and how we can help navigate individuals in the healthcare system and help them better to work on their own personal asthma control plans, so to reduce some of those last-minute flying into the emergency room for care, and also try to reduce the number of hospitalizations. For Kenosha County, we're third and fourth for hospitalizations and emergency room visits for asthma in our community, and that's excessive. Mentioned already the HUD lead poisoning prevention, that's about $3.5 million award, and that's it. Thank you.
Corporate counsel?
Nothing to report.
Any other business?
On this Ebola stuff, there was a Facebook page called Kenosha Parents for Children, mm-hmm. and somebody about a week ago typed in there, what happens, how come we're not prepared for this in the schools? Mm-hmm. And then this person was going back and forth. A couple of school board members jumped in, kind of blew up. And I made the mistake of saying that. I'm Mark Bedore, I'm in the Kenosha County Board of Health. And this would be a Board of Health, this would be a health department issue, and there's plenty of plans in place, and then it just got out of hand. And
yeah.
Then they had Dr. Sue contact this person, and she still wasn't happy, and then she asked me to call her, and I said, I'm on vacation, I'm not going to call you. Oh, so if you're on vacation, nothing's going to happen? And I'm like, no! I just left it. His name was Carol Bishop. I don't know if,
okay.
I don't know if the school's contacted you about
We shared with Dr. Sue, the superintendent of schools, that their plan would be part of the Kenosha County plan,
right.
and that I gave her an electronic version of our full preparedness plan, the public health plan, which they would fall into. And also Dr. Sue, the superintendent, is part of our healthcare executive roundtable.
Okay.
And so I would think that we'll have representation at that meeting. And at that healthcare executive roundtable, the group was brought together about 5 years ago to have the executives within this community just share, collaborate on different health topics. It originally started due to the tornado and the school bus crash that we had. And so just talking about how we collectively be prepared. And so it's, you know, as we have these either H1N1 or now Ebola, again, brings us back to the point of how do we, again, communicate collectively so that we can, as a community, be all on the same page.
And you added some links to the Kenosha County Division of Health web page, too?
Yes, absolutely. And the state, which has all the information. So she got a well-rounded piece of information.
A lot of overreaction.
Other business or any other comments? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So,
second.
Thank you. Try.
Good job, Wayne.
I've got all their notes off the board, man.
All their notes off the board.
Yeah, always reel it in. Some people.